Welcome to Magical Mondays with the Psychic Cowgirl Shannon and Psychic Sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Magical Mondays with me, Shannon, and Virginia. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Shannon.
And how are you today?
I am here. How are you?
I am way better this evening than I was earlier today. So, yay.
What happened?
Let's talk about that later.
Okay.
I'm still not over it.
Understandable.
So today we're going to talk about, we're going to share some of our secrets, actually, of tuning in, how we receive messages, how we interpret our messages, how we get ready to receive messages. Right, Virginia? Did I miss anything?
And maybe aside from what we do when we tune in and stuff, but noticing the signs that we get along the way, like maybe we're not sitting down to tune in for a reading or anything, but, you know, we're driving and there's something in our awareness or our thoughts. And so it's paying attention then to different signs that are around you. And
yes. And noticing what you notice.
Yes.
So
and that might sound like, duh.
I know, it sounds simple. This morning I had, like, stressful things happening, and I had to run to town for groceries. And so I'm, like, I don't know, 10 minutes from the closest little town where I ran in to get some stuff so that my mom could make a cinnamon bun, so totally worth it for a trip to town. And as I was thinking about my situation, interestingly enough, signs kept jumping out at me. The stop sign, because somebody ran it over, so it was like on the side of the road, propped up differently than usual. So, of course, it stood out. But even like the road signs that said, you know, Range Road whatever or Township Road whatever, as I drove like the 10 minutes to town, there's not that many signs, but each one I saw like jumped out at me. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Did they wash them? Did they put up new ones? What is that about? So as I was driving home, I was still thinking about everything, and it clicked in my head, okay, I get it. I'm supposed to pay attention to the signs and what's going to happen from now on to deal with the situation I'm in. I have to pay attention. The universe will tell me what to do and how to handle it all. I have to listen and notice.
Mm-hmm. And also, sometimes it's simple things, like
yep.
I'm trying to think of one that was, it's simple things and they're subtle, but they're things that jump out at you and force you to pay attention. And gosh, what was it the one day? I am trying to think. It was, like, my mileage was, like, something, 7-Eleven or something like that as I was on my way to the grocery store. Like, I was pulling in the parking lot, and I happened to see my mileage. And I was like, oh, that's odd. And I get into the store, and I get the couple things I needed. And one of those things was a gallon of milk. I was in the self-checkout, and I was scanning the milk, and I happened to look down as I set the jug down on the little thing so that it can get weighed, that it was rung up or whatever, however that
yep.
works. And I look, and I blink my eyes, and I look around, and I thought to myself, am I seeing this? There was literally the number 4, clear as day, in the condensation on the milk jug.
No way.
And I thought, what the heck is that? And so it was kind of funny because I had been contemplating getting a lottery ticket. That's what was happening when I pulled into the parking lot. I was thinking of getting a scratch off lottery ticket. And then I happened to notice the mileage that I saw it was 7-Eleven. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll grab one in the store. Well, I forgot while I was in the store. And then I saw the 4 on the jug, and I was walking to the car, and I thought, oh, a lottery ticket. And then I thought, oh, well, 7-Eleven's right on the way home. I'll stop there. And so then that fit with the mileage on my car, the 7-Eleven. And then when I got into the 7-Eleven, I looked at the tickets, and there was the 7-Eleven 21 tickets. So I said, okay, I'm getting those. And I got 4 of them because I saw the number 4 on my milk jug. So I get home, and I scratch them all off, and only one of them was a winner. And it was the 4th one in the sequence of cards that I got. And it was
cool.
It was nothing major. It was just a free ticket or whatever I paid, or you know what I mean? It wasn't, but sometimes it's those subtle things that, like, look, are you paying attention? And
right.
So it's noticing that little sequence of things that go on and say, yes, I am paying attention and I am listening and I am going to buy those scratch-off lottery tickets that aren't going to win me anything except what I paid for them. But I'm paying attention.
But you still get a validation out of it, right?
Exactly. And that's totally what it was. It was just validation. And I think that's important in our line of work, validation.
A little bit, yes. So let's continue with the angel numbers. Because how often do we get asked, what happens when you see 111? 222-333.
Right. Or in my husband's case, 1234.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if that's on this list. So I pulled up Doreen Virtue's angel number site thing because, of course, she has the best book ever, and it's a small book and packed full of information, and I can never keep them in my store or in my possession because I either sell them or give them away. I tried to see if I had one, but no, I don't.
I
put it on my to-buy list. But there's a website. So if you keep seeing 111, which I had someone ask me recently, here's what it means. Monitor your thoughts carefully and be sure to only think about what you want, not what you don't want. This sequence is a sign that there is a gate of opportunity opening up and your thoughts are manifesting into form at record speeds. The 111 is like the bright light of a flashbulb. I like that.
I do too. I see that a lot.
Yes. And when anybody asks me about this, like the numbers, I send them to the Doreen Virtue stuff. And then my stock answer is to tell them, you know what? Because you're noticing these, you are starting to pay attention, and that's a part of your journey and awakening and becoming more in tune.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge, huge sign. You agree?
I agree. It's all about being aware.
Yes.
And taking notice.
Notice what you notice.
Because really at the end of the day, every single one of us has this gift of intuition. There's
yep.
just some of us who can tune in a little easier maybe, or maybe not even that. It's maybe that just that we're paying attention and we're doing something with it. It doesn't mean that because I tune in a different form than Shannon that my readings are better than hers or that she gets a little deeper than I do, that hers are better than mine. It's not about, like, a competition because we can all do it. It's just we all do it differently in our own way, and that's kind of what the show, tonight's show, is, I think, we'll talk a lot about because you do things a certain way, I do things a certain way. There's several, quote, famous psychic and intuitive folk, you know, on TV, on a broad national spectrum, and they do things differently as well. You know, we're all tapping into the same source, basically. We just all receive information in a way that we
can understand. It's effective for us.
Right, exactly. But everyone can do it. It's just noticing and paying attention to the information that's coming to you.
Yes. I find intuition is a muscle. The more you use it, the sharper and better it gets.
I agree.
and then it'll become a little more effortless as you just work with it and grow with it and start to trust and get those validations. And the thing is, we get validations all the time. We just don't always notice them.
Right.
And then sometimes we do when we say, duh.
And sometimes we're kind of smacked upside the head with
a little bit. A little bit, yes. I know. I have to laugh at myself when that happens.
And it happens to me often.
Me too. So when you tune in, do you have well, I know before the radio show, we listen to music and we dance to raise our vibration so that we can, you know, be lively. And we do tune in a little on the radio show, not like we would on a regular one-on-one session, right?
Right.
I sort of lost where I was going with that. Help.
Well, I'm just wondering if everyone is now having, you know, funny visions in their head of Shannon and Virginia dancing alone around in their bedrooms or offices,
yes,
or wherever.
Yeah, mine's in my office. Amidst the crystals, the crystal ball, the cat, you know.
Right. Same here. The cat, the crystals.
The reason being, if you raise your vibration and are happy, it's easier to tune in.
Yes.
Fear and anger will block intuition.
Yes. And not only fear, but just higher or heavier emotion.
What's it, for instance?
No. Just emotion, being emotionally connected to a certain situation. For example, with my cat, I was having some issues with my cat, and I could get some information just kind of on a surface level from him, but I couldn't tune into what exactly was going on deeper because I was too emotionally connected. And so
yes,
I had somebody else tune into him, and that night the whole situation was resolved and solved, and we haven't had any issues, and it's been 2 weeks now, and I'm so indebted to her for helping. And it's just, I mean, the turnaround is amazing, and I even see not only in the behavior that the cat was displaying that has stopped, but he's also way more friendly and open and around. And right, and it all came down to he was a shelter cat, and he was scared that, you know, he's been shipped around several times already, and he was scared that he was going to get shipped around again. So I just had to give him a little extra nurturing and reassuring that he's here to stay, and his demeanor's completely changed. You can see and feel his comfort levels now, which is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. As he sleeps behind me.
Cute. So being emotionally attached, and it does affect your tuning in ability.
Mm-hmm. That's why when people say, oh, you're psychic, how come you didn't see this coming or you didn't know? Well,
yes.
It's not always easy for us to tune into our own personal situation.
No.
I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, because a lot of the times we want a specific outcome, too. It's harder to be unattached and let it flow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I emailed you a few days ago in a frenzy because of this crazy thing that happened to me, and I didn't know if it was just a sign, if it was my own fears. It turned out it was my own fears, but I was it was my situation, so I couldn't see the bigger picture of what was going on because I was so kind of scared and emotionally invested in the entire thing. So I emailed Shannon and I was in a frenzy. Oh my gosh, help me.
Right. Because a lot of times it is exactly that. You're in that moment and you don't know if what you're feeling is intuitive hits, if it's your own fears, if your own overreaction. You just don't, it's really hard to sort it all because you're trying to do it really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like you get frantic because everything is happening too fast and it's really hard to sort it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're tuning in consciously and awarely, we slow ourselves down, correct?
Yes.
And take those minutes to just be calm, calm our energy, ground our energy. But when we're worried, upset, frantic, yeah, that doesn't happen.
Right. And because when we calm our energy and we take those few minutes to quiet everything and slow everything down and, you know, kind of close our eyes, and it's, the messages just kind of start flowing because we're paying more attention to our bodies and ourselves and our awareness and our energy. And so any messages that we receive are clearer because we've kind of slowed down the time all around us.
Yes.
And I slowed down my voice for effect.
I heard that. Your hypnosis voice. You are not getting sleepy.
But that's how it feels to me when I'm, you know, prepping for a reading or tuning in or something. I just slow everything
yes.
down. I feel like just time is not moving quickly.
Absolutely. Then when you're connected, sense of time means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I have no sense of time.
I don't either. That's why anytime I do readings or sessions or whatever, they tend to go a little bit longer because I'm not paying attention.
Yes, I've had to set a timer. If people have a certain time they have to be gone because they have another mm-hmm. commitment, I set the timer just to make sure because I can't guarantee that I'll be aware.
Yeah, I set a timer too and I just tell it to be quiet and turn it off.
I know, and then you jump. Yeah. So
yeah.
We have a caller. So let's take our caller and see what they have to say.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm just, like, really, I like listening to the show tonight because I'm just, these signs and symbols that you're talking about, it really kind of hits home.
Nice. Where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
That's cool.
Mm. Yeah. So I just kind of like really, you know, it's really good. It's just giving me.
Did you call in to listen on your phone?
Well, listen, are you doing any readings tonight or just.
No.
You're not, so.
No,
okay.
We don't do readings on the radio.
Okay.
We teach you how to do your own.
Oh, well, that I'm confused about, so, but, you know, but this, I did tune in to listen to the, what you were talking about, and I do get a lot of signs and symbols, so.
Good.
It is leading me on the right track, so.
Perfect.
So that is great. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll put you back so you can listen.
Great. Perfect.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. So what, where do we want to go next? Do you want to talk about some of our symbols that show up during readings that mean certain things to us?
Sure. Well, why don't we first talk about how we kind of set the stage for our readings? How, like, what do you do to prepare yourself for a reading,
lucky me, because I am an empath, whenever I have a person booked for that day, I will take on whatever is going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
I have clients that know that, so it's kind of entertaining because I will text them or email them, say, okay, are we coming? Are you coming today? And they'll be like, yeah. By the way, are you having a rough morning? I'm kind of cranky this morning. I'm like, yes. Glad it's you, not me. Because, of course, when it's, you know, cranky or angry or having a bit of a rough go or sick, I think I have to cancel. That's immediately where I go, oh, I don't feel well today. I'm really crabby. Oh, I'm kind of sick today. I don't know if I want to do this. Maybe I need to cancel. And then this will go on for a few minutes, and then it'll click in my head, oh, yeah. Because, of course, if they're having a great morning and are super excited to come and see me, I feel all that. And then I don't mm-hmm. doubt. I'm just having mm-hmm. a great day. So I get all that, and I have to work through that, which I like. I mean, I could probably stop it if I wanted to, but I don't want to, because then when I get to talk to them, I say this, 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 and we instantly know that we're connected. So mm-hmm. it saves, you know, some time, and I like that a lot. So when I'm waiting for them to either arrive or for me to call, however it's going on that day, I listen to music, I dance around the house, I make sure that my vibration is raised, and I feel energetic, and I drink a lot of water.
Yes. I drink a lot of water, too.
Yes, because water is a good conductor, so if you want to be more intuitive, drink more water.
Do you do any special little prayers or rituals or...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I get into my zone before they come and do all my, you know, chatting with whoever and, you know, I do all that part. I don't have, like, a specific one.
Mm-hmm.
I just do it, right? It's just an energetic thing for me. It's less about words than getting mm-hmm. into that energy where I know that what I'm connecting with is what I want to connect with. I will say this, though. I used to have, like, a whole ritual. Like, seriously, I did not veer off that ritual. I would do this, this, and this. I would only eat certain things. I would only listen to certain music. Like, I really had this ritual down because this was a few years ago when I probably wasn't as confident.
Mm-hmm.
Not probably, I wasn't. And so I would, in my mind, if I did step one, two, and three, I would be fine. Until one day I realized how ridiculous it was because maybe I didn't want to do exactly that certain thing. Or maybe I ran out of cornflakes. I don't know what happened. And I realized that I was okay not doing that. Actually, part mm-hmm. of it is because someone had taught me that in a psychic class I took, that that's how you got ready, until I realized mm-hmm. that, really, I don't need to do that.
That makes
okay, your
sense.
Turn.
What do? I kind of do my little conversation like you do. I guess you can call it a prayer in a sense. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, any formal thing. It's, you know, just me kind of talking to my helpers, you know, angels, guides, and setting an intention for the session or the reading or whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, for the highest good of all involved and, you know, keep all the bad stuff out, only good stuff can come in, you know, just little things
yep.
like that, and basically just setting the intention, and if I know who, you know, if I know in advance that this is what I'm doing or what specifically is going on, then I will add that in, you know, like the client's name or whatever it is they're looking for. But if not, I just do, you know, generic, hi, I'm ready to tune in type of thing. And that's really it. It's nothing exciting and crazy and,
no.
you know, my head's not spinning around and my eyes aren't rolling in the back of my head. Nothing like that's going on. And for the most part, no one would probably even know I was doing it if I didn't tell them.
True enough. The only other thing that I do is when I'm actually sitting down with someone or on the phone, when I tune into their energy, then I do a little prayer and a little intention and a little thing for the highest. I ask for clarity for both of us a lot of the time, just so that when we're working together, we can understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just see what happens.
But that's a good tip, because I ask for clarity as well, but I never say both of us. I just say clarity in the messages. So maybe I'll be a little more specific next time and see how that goes.
They'll understand, because you know how sometimes we say things and it doesn't make sense to them right then, but it will later?
Mm-hmm.
I did find that asking for the clarity for both of us helps me to say it in a way they get it and helps them to get it.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's all trial and error, right?
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes now, something will work and other times it won't.
Right. Let's get to the fun stuff. Let's get to the symbols.
Okay.
So when you're sitting down with someone or on the phone, however you're doing it, are there certain symbols now that will pop in that mean certain things? I'll use an example. For example, there is someone I know, and when a person will pop into my client's energy who is a wannabe guru, I will see this person that I know, and I will know that that's the symbol for a wannabe guru, and that they have someone in their energy who's trying to do that to them. Or I will see, what's another good one I'll see? If there's some sort of celebrity involved, I will see Brian Dennehy. Don't ask me why. I just do. Probably because he's in my favorite movie, The Ultimate Gift, which is on sale at Walmart for $5 right now, people, and it's a great Christmas movie. Just saying. Good reminder, I bought my mom one, and she's here right now. I better give it to her. And, yeah, I don't know why Brian Dennehy. I don't know. And I couldn't even remember his name. I had to go, like, search my movie. What are some others that will come up? I will smell alcohol in my actual nose, smell it, if someone that we're trying to connect with is drinking. That's all I can think of offhand. Can you think of any offhand, Virginia?
I only have a couple that are, like, specific symbols that I get, and it's usually during medium readings. And when I am making the connection and I try and ask the spirit that is crossed how they transitioned or if they're willing to share, I'm usually shown a daisy, and that tells me that it was peaceful for them at the moment of their transition. And whenever they are ready to pull back their energy, they show me them cupping the person who's getting the reading. They show me them cupping their hand in their face in their hands. Does that make sense? The spirit is cupping the client's face in their hand, and that's my signal that they're ready to step back. That's, like, to me, that's them expressing their love towards the client and that they're ready to pull their energy back.
Nice.
Those are my
go ahead. Okay. Well, don't you find a medium reading, though, is so much like charades?
Yes.
Trying to figure out what the crossed over loved one is doing, saying, feeling, giving us, and trying to take that, put it into words or symbols, and give to the client.
And then the funny thing is if you relay it completely as you get it, sometimes the client is like, what in the world are you saying? And then you have to make them understand that it's not necessarily a literal thing, that a lot of times it can be symbolic, and what does this mean to you? And, you know, a reading I just did over the weekend, there was talk The spirit said something about a wooden piece of furniture that was painted white with green trim or something like that. And I thought it was like a nightstand or an end table, but then I saw it in a kitchen. So I'm literally relaying everything that I saw and how I saw it. And it turned out it was the cabinets in the client's kitchen. So I'm like, okay, then that, you know, this makes sense to you then. Okay, because I don't know what the heck it means.
Charades.
Right. And, but see, now that was a literal thing, but the problem is it's not always literal. And
right.
So it's sometimes clients might get a little frustrated, or this doesn't make sense to me, and I don't know what this means, and I don't get it. And so sometimes it's a little bit of a back and forth where medium readings are concerned, just trying to, you know, create an awareness and an understanding without them feeling as though we're trying to push it. Like, no, 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 this is accurate because I don't know. I just know what I was given. And the rest, it's not for me to figure out. It's for them to figure out.
Right. And try to figure out, like, what the symbols mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, it's not always literal.
Right.
And then figure out if it's a symbol for me to interpret or a symbol for them to interpret.
Right. I found if it's something for me to interpret, I have found that I am shown situations, movies, songs, like things that have a personal meaning to me, and then that's how I make the connection.
Nice.
So like you said, you will, so if someone, you know someone who is a wannabe guru and you see that person, if that's going on in your client's life, similar to that, I just don't see that same specific image each time, but I will all of a sudden get a flash, almost like a memory of a specific situation that I've been in or been through, and that completely relates or says or has to do with what the client is experiencing
yes.
at that moment. So it helps me to relay the message to them.
Yes.
And that part
I have that happen too.
Mm-hmm.
So for all you listeners, if you're having a conversation with someone and they're talking about a situation they're in, and your mind flashes to a similar situation that you've had, that's an intuitive hit for you to share and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't discount that. That is an intuitive hit. That counts.
And it's almost like you have to be strategic in how you use that to help them.
Yes.
Don't you think? Because if
yes.
you say, oh, but I did this and this is what worked, so you have to do it, they're not going to listen.
No. You have to say it like, you know what? I think something similar has happened to me, and this is how it turned out. I don't know if that'll help you or not.
Mm-hmm. Or
I mean, they come pay us for this information, so we can be a little more blunt. But when you're having a conversation with a friend, you do have to phrase it so that they don't check out because they think you're talking about yourself.
Right. Well, and that's what I was going to say is I sometimes won't even say, oh, well, I went through something similar. Did you think of trying this? I will just say, I will think in my head, okay, I get it, and this is what I did. So, and then I'll say, so, Shannon, you know, do you ever think of trying this? Because I bet something like this would work out really well, and I make the connection of how it worked for me without bringing me into it at all.
Nice.
You know, like saying like, oh, well, if your car's making that really weird noise, have them check the engine. I don't even know. You know, because my car made the same noise and it was an engine problem. But instead of saying that, I say, oh, have you thought of checking the engine? Because
mm-hmm.
I've heard that can make that noise. You know what I mean? I kind of use it that way
yep.
so that they don't. Because I, you know, I talk about myself a lot.
But you can gauge who you're talking to, right? And if they would relate better to a story of your own
mm-hmm.
specific circumstances, or if they would relate better to you saying, I wonder if this would work for you. It's worked for me, right? Because if they want to know more detail, they'll ask you.
Right.
yes, that's an intuitive hit.
It's all about just paying attention.
Yes.
Because sometimes, like, when you get that flash during a conversation, you could be getting it because either you can empathize with them and just be a shoulder, because you are somebody who's been through it, so you know what they're dealing with or going through, or it's because you're able to give a different perspective on their situation because you went through it and you handled it this way or you experienced it this way, so you can kind of give them a different perspective.
Yes. Absolutely. And if they don't listen to you, don't take it personally.
Yeah. Or if you do need to take it personally, don't do it in front of them.
Yes.
Go cry in your bedroom.
That's
or in
right.
the car.
Don't let them know, because it's not about you in that moment. It's about them. And you're
right.
just sharing your intuitive hits. So what else do you want to share? I'm answering the chat room.
Oh, so was I. I'm trying to think.
Now we're both silent.
I'm trying to think of other specific. It all just comes differently. I find that each reading or each session with the client is different. They all kind of have a common theme or a thread that connects one to the next, but they're all kind of unique and different. And I get my information in so many different ways that it's not always the same from one client to the next. For example, one client might be all, you know, memories or songs or, you know, like those kind of things, like movies or my own personal situations. The next client might be, you know, specific smells and sounds, and then the next client could be solely energetic and feeling. So it's so different from one to the next. So sometimes it's hard for me to pinpoint specifically my messages or how I go about things.
How you get them?
Mm-hmm.
I can relate to that, because sometimes it's more clairvoyant, more pictures and movies. Sometimes it's like smells or it's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just see things. My client will actually change and shapeshift into past life stuff. That happens to us. I don't even know. I guess I don't even know what category that would fit in.
I don't either, but I know now that you put it in those terms, I've had that happen too, where you're just looking at them and all of a sudden everything changes about them and you're like, what
yes.
the heck is going on? Mm-hmm.
And then I look at them and say, you just shapeshifted into a past life and this is what happened. You know what's the coolest thing about that? When it's women and they have a certain hairdo, more often than not, they will tell me that they've been wearing that certain type of hairdo lately. They've been attracted to it.
Interesting.
I know. I thought that was really cool.
Charity has a good question in the chat room.
Okay.
She says, what if someone asks you questions or has problems and you just have these far out there answers and you have no idea where they came from?
How do those answers feel? See, I would just share them. But it would also depend who I was talking to.
Right. So I was just going to say, I typically do as well, but not always. If you don't know where they came from, to me, that's a sign that it's a sign. Or an answer or something.
Well, then if it's not you, that's good. Well, no, not necessarily good. I didn't mean it like that. So that would be intuitive hits. That would be channeling almost, too. I don't know why I even said almost. It is channeling. And do you feel like an energetic hit as you're getting the answers to Charity? I don't know, like a shiver or a little infuse of energy maybe at the top of your head or down your spine. I am so smart. That was a yes for those of you that can't hear Charity in the chat room. That's channeling and intuitive hits. Channeling is just getting intuitive hits in a clear way.
Mm-hmm.
Go you.
She said she feels like she becomes someone else. I can relate to that, where you're getting this information and you're like, what in the world is happening right now?
It's channeling, people, channeling. Don't you feel like there's kind of a different energy in your body?
Mm-hmm.
Channeling. I should do an online class to teach you the specifics on channeling. It's cool.
You feel a little different. You're hearing the information come to you in a way that you may not necessarily talk, and the voice inside your head isn't the voice you normally hear.
Absolutely. I should do that, because when I do the class, I would teach you guys how to channel Mother Earth specifically, so you knew how that felt like, and then we would try a few others. But being that I'm intuitive, I could tune in to see who you already channel. I have some insight into that already. And then you would know, and you could specify, and you could make it a little more concise. That's what I found when I took a channeling class. I already knew how to do it, but I could fine-tune it.
I could use fine-tuning.
See, that one would be easy to do online,
mm-hmm.
which we have no choice, right? Because you're all the way in Illinois.
Right.
Cool.
Charity in Canada with you?
Yes, Charity actually lives maybe half hour from me.
She said she feels like she's an old soul. I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yes. And it would make sense to me. Oh, she's only 20 minutes. It would make sense to me that being that old souls, like where you've lived many lives on many different places, different planets, maybe even parallel, that channeling would become easy to you.
It
took me 45 minutes to get that in there. For those of you that don't always listen, I love to torment Virginia about parallel lives, the whole theory. And I try to bring it up every show. So I wait for an opening. Oh, I make myself laugh.
Well, the time is becoming nearer for me to dive into this whole topic, because I'm finding little seeds being planted here and there. Like I randomly the other day saw the aside from the Monday night, I recently saw something, I can't remember where, but it was very random and out of nowhere, and it was had something to do with the author of the book you were telling me about. And I thought, oh, come on, really?
That's awesome. Thanks, Virginia's heavenly helpers. Notice what you noticed.
I noticed. I was trying to ignore it.
See, there's a good point, though. So when you're thinking of developing your intuition or your psychic powers, if you want to call it that, notice books that jump out at you or that people will talk about. They will practically scream your name.
Yes.
That's a huge one. Or people will suggest.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I came across a lot of the books I have. A lot of them came from suggestion that people gave me.
Mm-hmm. Or you maybe overheard a conversation or even online conversations, and you think, oh, mm-hmm. I need to check out that book. And then you go online and check it out or to the bookstore, and it practically jumps off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
In the same token, some of them don't. Like, people will be talking about books they find interesting, and you'll go pick it up, and it just doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm. That always seems to be the case with me.
I know.
I start reading and something just falls short, or I get busy and I just don't get back to it.
Yeah, I have a whole shelf of those. I should actually clear them out one day. Then I have my favorites that, of course, nobody gets. Those are mine.
And it's hard for me with school right now. I mean, I have to read so much. I feel like my brain is going to explode sometimes. Like, how much more information can my brain process?
No kidding, hey? School does that to you.
Mm-hmm. But I'm learning a lot.
You are. And you like it. That's the cool part.
I do. It is fun and exciting. And I think since we're talking about, you know, messages, and we had talked about things that we do prior to reading, I think it's important to point out that anyone who is trying to develop their intuition or be more in tune, I think it's important that if you are starting to do readings or wanting to do readings, that you kind of clear your space and create like a safe space around you, kind of like a sacred space, some people would say.
Yes.
Because you want, what's the word I'm looking for, Shannon? You want safety and protection around you, and it's, you want to be careful about who you channel and what energies you access. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't want to create any harm to yourself or your clients or your home or your environment, anything like that.
Well, the whole ritual thing I used to do, that's what that was about. It was me being paranoid. Like, I did take it, I got carried away, but kind of not really, because it was my way of creating that sacred energy, that nice space. And I didn't realize I could just do it with intention and just do it because
mm-hmm.
I was still a little insecure about it all. So I did the whole ritual. Let me tell you, I laugh about it and make jokes about it to myself, but it was highly effective. So if you feel drawn to do that, do it. Oh, I would only eat certain things that day. I would never eat chips and dip on that day. No way. Not till after. Like, I just would do certain things. Even now, I drink, you know, a certain tea, focus and concentration, before the radio shows, before clients. And part of the whole ritual thing of doing it is to get you into that space that you're talking about, Virginia, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because then it becomes a habit.
Right. But it's whatever you're comfortable with and that you feel is creating that safe space around you. It's almost like you're creating this inner bubble
mm-hmm.
that only certain energies can enter into.
And you're creating a connection.
Right, right.
And if ritual's your thing, do it.
And I think the word ritual kind of has heavy energy to it, you know, like other words like witch.
You think? I
but
like the word ritual.
It doesn't have to be heavy. It's really, a ritual is what you do every morning when you wake up, you know, and get ready for work or school.
Yeah.
Or whatever you do. That's a ritual. I mean,
and
your life is filled with rituals.
Filled. I can only drink coffee in the morning with my cup that's blue and green swirls. Afternoon tea is in my sunflower cup. That's my ritual.
Or it's your OCD. We haven't figured out yet.
Same deal. My husband laughs at me. Oh, no, what if there's no blue swirly cups clean? Then I'll wash one.
Well, we can't laugh at you because I do the same thing. Like on the morning that I have to go to work, I have to have, okay, first of all, I have to eat Honey Nut Cheerios every morning for breakfast. There's no way around it. Unless I'm not feeling well for some reason, then I won't eat it, but that doesn't happen very often. And so on the days that I have to work and I actually have to leave the house, I have these nice big, like 32-ounce plastic cups, and I'll fill that. And so one has to be clean on the mornings that I work. So I guess I can't make fun of you about your coffee cup and tea
cup.
No,
you can't. Hee-hee. Well, and I think the whole premise behind a ritual is to get you into a certain space, right?
Uh-huh.
So my certain coffee cup is getting me started for my day to get, you know, my to-do list done and get the kids out the door. You know, it feels comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And it's just part of my day now. And same with, you know, working on your intuition, you want to create that space, so having a ritual about it will help you get into that space quicker each time.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
Or even not so much in the beginning, but until you feel fully comfortable to just raise your energy and your vibration and set the intention, it just makes it easier to have that ritual or habit. However you feel more comfortable saying it, it's the same thing.
Yes, it is the same thing.
Just like you're staying on the 13th floor, even though it says 14.
And Virginia wants to go tell you.
Well, it's the same thing.
It is. So, if you had a question, Virginia, if you had a question and you wanted an answer to it, what are some of the things you would do, rituals, whatever you want to call it, to try to get that answer for yourself intuitively?
Oh, see, all I really do is I ask. I kind of go within and I just simply ask the question and pay attention to how my body responds. If it's a no, I get an uncomfortable feeling in my core. And I know, like, when you think about something like, I don't think I want to do that. You know, like, okay, if a haunted house just isn't your thing, that you're going to say, I don't think I want to do that. You have this discomfort inside of you that says,
in your body.
Right. I don't want to do that. It's the same thing. So if something isn't a good thing or isn't a positive or isn't going to work out, I just go in real quick and I ask and I check in. And if I get an inkling of that feeling, the answer is no.
Perfect.
What do you do, Shannon?
Well, if I'm deciding whether I want to do something like that, I do the same. I feel it in my body. If I'm feeling no and freaked out, but there's this underlying energy of excitement, I know that I'm just being kind of a chicken and I need to take a leap of faith. But if I don't feel that underlying energy of excitement, I know it's a flat no. And sometimes it's a flat yes. It's just full of excitement and I'm jumping up and down and can't believe that I said that I'm going to get an opportunity like that. But, yeah, I feel it in my body too. And then I have to come back down and figure out the details. But my initial reaction is what I go with, that first hit, whatever it is.
So let's say that you had something in mind that you wanted, that you were trying to manifest, that you put on a vision board or whatever it is, it's something that you are kind of in the market for wanting or are trying to manifest. And what do you do? I mean, it's simple, I think, for you and I, but what do you do if this thing is in your mind and you get one specific hit or clue of what you were already thinking or had in mind and you think, oh my gosh, did they just say that or did that just happen? Because I was just thinking that in my head. What do you do in a situation like that? Do you proceed forward or do you question it? Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's easy for you and I because that's our first green light to go. But were you always this way? And what would you do? Would you wait for the next clue or the next sign?
If I was feeling doubt and it was like a self-doubt, I would say, okay, I caught that one, but I'm still not sure, so I'm going to pay attention from now on even closer and send me another one, and then I would wait and see.
And that's usually what I would do, too. I just think that's important to touch on, you know, being that we're talking about signs and, you know, saying pay attention to them. But a lot of times, especially when we're first starting to open up and develop our intuition, when we get the signs, it's this, like, whole
second guess
excitement. And, like, did that really just happen? No way that didn't just happen. I'm making this up. There's no way that just happened. And so you have to pay attention for the next one to come or the next one. And there's times where the messages will come and come and come, and you're just so busy with life that you're not paying attention. And then you're literally, like we said, hit over the head with something saying, yo, pay attention.
Well, and it is very true that the universe always gives you second chances. So if you miss the clues and signs the first time, you will get another chance. It's never completely gone.
Right.
Sometimes we get into that belief, and then we wouldn't see it if it came back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So don't buy into that belief. Another opportunity will always show up, always. It might look slightly different, but that means it will be better.
But you might be slightly different the time the next opportunity rolls around. So
right.
You can't expect it to be the exact same.
No, because when the first time you said no, so the universe is not going to package it exactly the same because the universe is going to think you're just going to say no again.
Right. The universe tailors things to you to benefit you.
Yes, because the universe is cool like that. Okay, so speaking of universe, no, I'm kidding. It's Blog Talk telling me that there is 30 seconds left. So what are we doing next week?
That's a great question.
I never check.
Next week is a fun one. We are going to be talking about the whole frenzy and madness of 2012.
Cool. Right. We are going to talk about some myths, some conspiracies, some cool things maybe that we'll find out about 2012 and what's going on with our world.
It'll also be our own personal feelings on 2012, December, whatever the date even is. And
the 21st.
What means, and what it means for us and what we feel. I'm just glad it's not the 13th because that's my birthday.
Well, it's the 21st because, remember, it's my anniversary.
Oh. Well.
It's going to be great. So we are actually going to do some research before this show so that we can bring you, we're going to try to find like the weirdest, most outrageous theory we can find. So anybody listening, if you come across any, oh, you have to share with us.
Mm-hmm. Email
us. We'll have fun.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I was just saying, if you find something, email us, one of us, or message us.
Yes. Or join us in the chat room and tell us there, or call in. And then we'll talk about the energy of whatever information you find, too, because we can tune into that. This will be really fun. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for the chat room. It was fun, like usual.
Yes.
And have a good rest of the Monday and week.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.